This is 10 Minutes or Less, a weekly-ish podcast of the local church. I'm Brent Levy. Okay, so question. How are your New Year's resolutions holding up? Do you have a mantra for your new year? Do you have a phrase? Judging by my Facebook feed and the Instagram stories that I've swiped through over the last week, two words rolled up in one hashtag have quickly captivated the hearts and minds of a whole lot of folks in 2019, and maybe that includes you too. Those two words, tidying up. It's all based on Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Maybe you've heard of it, but it seems to have really taken on a life of its own because of her new Netflix show. Marie Kondo is a celebrity organizer and purger and tidier who invites people to sort through their stuff and ask a simple question. Does this spark joy? Those trophies from your childhood, that worn t-shirt with holes in the armpit from that one show you went to in high school, the stacks of blue books from your graduate school days, does it spark joy? If so, she says, keep it. But if not, then thank it for its place in your life and then get rid of it. Donate it, trash it, recycle it. Maybe you've seen them too, the posts featuring pictures of people's stuff in boxes ready to donate with the hashtag tidying up, or the before and after shots of closets cleaned and drawers organized and socks folded using the KonMari method so that they're able to breathe after working so hard day in and day out. Maybe you've read the articles about how thrift shops are thriving as a result of this newfound push to purge. And maybe you've caught KonMari mania yourself in the new year, finding yourself committed to simplifying, to sorting through the stuff and cutting through the mess for clarity and a fresh start, for less attachment to the tangible that leads to an openness to the intangible. Around this time each year in the church, we remember and celebrate the baptism of Jesus. It's all part of our rhythm in this season. Once we've celebrated the birth of Jesus at Christmas, we spend the 12 days of Christmas rejoicing and singing and proclaiming that hope is born, that love is born for us and the world. And on the 12th day of Christmas, we celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany is on January 6th each year. The word Epiphany comes from the Greek for to make known or to make manifest. And it marks the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles, the manifestation of God in Jesus, who has come to our fragile creation to redeem it and to make us whole. And this manifestation, this epiphany, is represented by the Magi who bring their gifts to fall at the feet of this newborn King, God made known to us in the world, joining all of creation in saying, this child is Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us. And as part of the season of Epiphany each year, we also remember the baptism of Jesus. We hear the story of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. It is the continuation of God being made known to us, a little more revealed to us about who this Jesus is and what it means for us, what it means for the world. It's the continuation of God being made manifest, made real in our midst. In Jesus' baptism, the heavens open and the Spirit of God descends, and there's a voice that says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." That voice, the voice of God, the Creator, is a way of revealing to the world Jesus' identity and his purpose, who he is and what he's about. In our local tables for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that, about identity, about that of Jesus, about our own identities as individuals and as a community of faith. It's going to be good. But before Jesus is baptized, there's John the Baptist. John's the one we talked about a few episodes ago in the season of Advent and our in-between series. It's John who receives the word of God in the wilderness and is sent to preach to all who will listen about Jesus and the need to make ready, the need to prepare the way of the Lord. And as John is preaching and baptizing, which was then simply a ritual of purification, the crowds begin to ask John, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one who will save us?" And John says, "No." Here's the passage from Luke chapter 3. Verses 15 through 17. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Ah, the wheat and the chaff. It's the ancient process of winnowing. At its simplest, it's the practice of taking the harvested grain and throwing it up in the air to let the wind blow away the chaff, the unnecessary parts like hay or straw or husk, and letting the heavier wheat fall to the ground to be gathered up. When I've heard this preached about in some places, and maybe you have too, the implied question is, are you the wheat or the chaff? Is Jesus going to gather you up or will you be burned with fire? It's a question meant to elicit a response using fear as motivation. But I think there's a better way to think about this idea of wheat and chaff. And I wonder if Marie Kondo might help our understanding. Because maybe the wheat and the chaff aren't ultimately about which group you'll find yourself a part of at the end, but maybe it's about the process of introspection and tidying up. In other words, what are the parts of you that need to be sorted through or purged in order to make room for something rich and deep and substantive? As we remember Jesus' baptism and our own this time of year, recalling our own purpose and identity rooted in the one we follow, Jesus, what are the things in your life that no longer spark joy? What are the things that you might need to let go of to make room for you to be more fully who God has created you to be? In what ways might the wheat and the chaff need to be separated in your own life? Is it a job that isn't as fulfilling as it once was? A grudge you've been hauling around like an old suitcase? Is it a relationship that's become unhealthy? Is it something on your calendar that no longer sparks joy, that's no longer life-giving? Is there even any room for margin for the Spirit of God to get a foothold? Are there parts of your life that have become tattered or worn, taking up space or simply filling your heart and soul with clutter? What do you need to pack up and let go of to make room for life, for joy, for delight, for love, to become who God has been creating you to be? More next time in 10 minutes or less. Minutes or Less is the podcast of the local church, a bold, inclusive, new faith community committed to being with and for one another, our community, and the world. You'll find us in bold purple throughout Chatham County, North Carolina, but we are a new expression of Christ United Methodist Church in Chapel Hill. If you love what you hear, share it with others who might need some joy sparked. Ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts are a big help too, and we can't do this without your generous support. If you believe that this podcast is making a difference in your week or adding value to your life, consider making a donation to help offset the cost of the show and invest in the greater work that God's doing through the local church. You can do it online. Just visit thelocalchurchpbo.org and select Give. Wes Frady, who always sparks joy in my life, produces the podcast for us. My email is in the show notes if you want to connect with me to learn more about what God's up to in our corner of creation. And we're easy to find on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search for The Local Church or Local Church PBO, all one word. If you find yourself with some margin or in need of it, local tables are starting back up this week throughout Chatham County. We'd love, love, love to have you join us for a good meal and meaningful, substantive conversation and holy friendships, too. All the info is on our website. Thanks for making space in your week for this podcast, friends. Remember, you're not alone, and love where you are.